You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm here today on this happy Indigenous Peoples Day, as I've been told by the U.S. media. Sven, how are you enjoying Indigenous Peoples Day?
Hi, Matt. I wish we did actually have an Indigenous Peoples Day here in Britain. I guess we have St. George's Day, the English Day of the patron saint, but the English people aren't allowed to celebrate that. We have St. Patrick's Day, but we don't really see the Irish doing very much. St. Patrick's Day is more important over there in America. In Wales, we have St. David's Day, but it's not a national holiday or anything like that. And in Scotland, we have St. Andrew's Day. I don't think there's very much gets done for that either. Nobody really knows much about the patron saints. I know you've got your Christopher Columbus Day over there today, but I bet most people do know of Christopher Columbus. But people over here, I mean, I couldn't really tell you that much about St. Andrew up in Scotland. I could tell you about St. George and maybe St. David, but that's because I've gone out and researched it. Children are certainly not taught about the patron saints of the United Kingdom and their importance, and we're certainly not encouraged to celebrate them or be patriotic in any way at all. In actual fact, St. George's Day marches get banned for being racist. So, I mean, at least you guys do actually have a proper national holiday for one of your early heroes, Christopher Columbus. Although I do hear that the mestizos and the mulattoes have come up with some alternative to it, Day of La Raza or something like that. And they seem to be particularly anti. I mean, I've even been reading about them pulling down statues of Christopher Columbus in South America, which is, of course, what we're seeing happening now in North America, pulling down all the statues. That must have been where they learnt it from. What are your views on this Christopher Columbus Day then?
Christopher Columbus, you learn in school, you know, in 1492, he sailed the ocean blue and he came to the Americas. And, you know, it's especially a big holiday within the Italian American community. He's not the patron saint, but he's definitely one of the, you know, the most well-known Italian American symbols. And that's why the left hates it so much. You know, my opening joke about Indigenous Peoples Day is Austin, Texas, San Francisco, Seattle, and Denver have all declared Indigenous Peoples Day because Christopher Columbus Day is racist. Everything's racist. I mean, didn't you know? And, you know, it's one of those interesting things to really look and see. You know, of course, we've gone so far in the past year from Confederate monuments are racist and need to be destroyed and need to be torn down. The Confederate flag needs to be banned. We need to dig up the graves of Confederate soldiers like Nathan Bedford Forrest and, you know, his wife even. And then it went into, well, you know, a lot of the American founders are, you know, were slave owners. So they were super racist. So they might have to go protesting Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. And now the next step is Christopher Columbus Day. So this really is a push. You know, anything that has European heritage, European traditions, anything that has to do with our people here in the New World is under siege, under attack in these far left, you know, strongholds. And what's interesting is a place like Seattle, you know, I could very easily go and blame, well, you know, like the mestizos and stuff like that. Well, they just want to have, you know, holidays to their own people. Well, you know, I understand that. You know, every people should be able to celebrate their heritage. But cities like Seattle are majority white. This is a majority white city that is saying we want nothing to do with their European heritage. We want nothing to do with anything that's white. We want to celebrate, you know, the peoples that are already here. And, you know, this is just anti-white propaganda. I mean, everything that the left is doing, you know, whether it's, you know, non-white groups or the white collaborators, is to destroy absolutely everything that has to do with they have changed the state song recently away from Maryland my memory, talking about redesigning the state flag, because half of the flag, it's actually a reconciliation flag of the Union Marylanders, and the other half is the Crossland banner, which was the symbol of the Confederate Marylanders, and it's actually a reconciliation flag. But reconciliation is not enough. We've got Francis Scott Key, of course, who wrote the American National Anthem. They're talking about no longer honoring him because he was a white supremacist. Because a white person who lived before like 1960 is a white supremacist because, you know, you wanted to keep Christianity, your religion, your traditions European. And that is enough to want to tear down everything about you. So this is the next flashpoint in the American.
These indigenous peoples that you were referring to, what do they mean by indigenous peoples? Because surely the people that are now there, these descendants from the Red Indians, I guess, they're not really descendants of the Red Indians. They've interbred with whites, they've interbred with blacks. There were no mestizos before the white people actually colonized America. So what kind of a claim are they actually making to the land of America? And Christopher Columbus himself and all the white colonists, they brought all this technology that has made it possible for these people to learn how to read and write and learn about history and learn how to organize. And then what they do when they do organize is they organize against the white people that brought them all the medicine and the technology and the infrastructure and the roads and the books and the learning and the science and the hospitals and everything that we've actually given to these people. And they're just incredibly ungrateful about it. And the way that they look at what we've done for them, they tend to attack it. Like when they will say that Christopher Columbus was just interested in getting slaves. Well, we didn't have machinery back then. We have machines to do these jobs today. Back then, we needed people to do them. The best way to do that was to get yourself a servant, and all you would have to do is pay for his food, pay for his clothing, pay for a roof over his head. There weren't shops around then for people to go out and waste their money on buying the latest fashions. What you needed was your living means covered. And that's basically what these slave owners did. And yet today, rather than saying, well, thank you to these white people for worming us and providing us with food and stopping the wars that were going on, they will say that we were just after slaves. And tell me if I'm wrong here, Matt, but we didn't straight away start attacking these Red Indians. It was after they started stealing our women and stealing our cattle and breaking the agreements we had with them, wasn't it?
Well, and that's an interesting thing with the Native Americans, with the peoples that were here, is there was a lot of conflict, and we can see the real push, of the white Americans against the Indians was after the French and Indian War in a lot of ways, because a lot of these tribes threw in with the French and fought a very bloody conflict, of course, with scalpings, with raids, with kidnapping, with, just a lot of violence. And, you know, this is something, of course, I don't want anyone to suffer or die, whether it's my people or other people's, obviously. But, you know, in a war, and this is the way it's always set up. The Native Americans, before we got here, were warring with each other. You know, they were, you know, coming and conquering one another. They were killing one another. They had weapons of war before white men showed up. So the idea of any group of people just being peaceful, that's certainly in the human condition. Different tribes, whether they're the same race, I mean, one must only look at European history to see that Europeans, we can butcher each other better than anyone else. But the conflict between different groups of people is just part of the human condition. It's a tragic one. It's one I would wish didn't happen, but it is what it is. We got to work with human reality. That the Indians were fighting each other before we showed up. And then when we got here, they picked sides. And many of the tribes, not only were there conflicts, and there were indiscretions on both sides. I will say that. But a lot of these tribes threw in with the French. Then during the American Revolution, they threw in with the British. And that just really wasn't the best strategy. They lost, the French lost the French and Indian War. The British lost the American Revolution. Sorry about that. My bad. But, that is what it is. And that's conflict. And the idea that, Native Americans or any other group of people should be treated differently, that after a war, stuff happens. That's something that I just don't think is a fair look at human history. But it's always presented. And this very sort of anti-white bias. And I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Native American culture, for their customs. I mean, you look at the civilized tribes that were here when we arrived. These are people we did business with. You know, the last Confederate general to surrender was Stand Watty, actually, who was a native who had the Cherokee Rifles. They were Native Americans that had actually built huge plantations. They actually had a huge amount of slaves, funny enough. But of course, you know, white people are the ones blamed for it. when you had Native Americans who had, you know, their own customs, their own constitutions that we actually dealt with in a very fair and equitable way most of the time. And, you know, even had huge plantations in different parts of the United States in the South. But, you know, all this fast forwards to a push against white people. It's just hating white people. There is no discussion about, well, what about reparations from the indigenous peoples that owned thousands of blacks? What about that? You know, that's not on the table. That's not being discussed. But it's always about anti-white hate. They'll rally any single cause to attack us, to attack our culture, attack our customs, and to attack even our holidays, where they don't just want to stop celebrating the day. They want to make it the opposite of what it was. They want to take a celebration of European heroes and then flip it around to be, you know, really celebrating who they see as the future Americans. As demographic changes continue, they want to be able to follow and celebrate, you know, the people that are displacing us, these mestizos, who really, as you pointed out, have no connection in many ways to the Native Americans that were actually here when we arrived, that we had conflict with. The mestizos that are coming from Guatemala and Venezuela and stuff like that, not the same Native Americans as the Choctaw or the Cherokee or, you know, peoples like that. Definitely separate groups. But, you know, anything that they can do to use as a bully club against white people is exactly what they're going to do. And I know the same thing's happening in Europe, where any symbol of European identity, of sovereignty, of history, that has to be attacked. It has to be torn down. And they're not going to stop by destroying and tearing down Confederate monuments. They're going to go for the American founders, who, of course, I have a very mixed opinion on. And they're going to go for even the pre-American European heroes, such as Christopher Columbus. And, of course, it's also here in the United States, Leif Erikson Day today. So happy Leif Erikson Day to all of my Scandinavian listeners and comrades, and, of course, the American-born ones. But that's going to be on the chopping block next, Sven. They will not rest until every symbol of European identity is absolutely scrubbed from the history books and our daily practices, because they hate us. There's no other way to say it. They hate us.
Yeah, I think we can see from this, we can understand why our ancestors would tend to wipe out a people whose land that they were invading and taking over. If they had a war with them, they would either execute them all or they would take them all as slaves. And what we did was we said, well, no, that's not very civilized. Surely what we should do is give these people their own reservations, and we'll let them make their own laws, and we'll give them welfare, and we'll try to let them get on in the way that they were before. So we tried something a little bit different, and tried to be a little bit more civilized, and we honored these people. We said that they were great at war. We honored them by naming our tanks and our aircraft and our military aircraft after them. I believe even some of your baseball teams or American football teams are named after these brave Indian heroes that you fought against. So it wasn't like, you treated these people really badly. We treated these people better than they were treated by their own people. The Incas would have just wiped them out and used them as human sacrifices. In fact, a lot of the Red Indians were cannibals, and this is why some of these tribes tried to join up with the white people and get them to fight against the ones that were fighting against them, because they were particularly barbaric. And the reward that we get for that, the reward we get for trying to live alongside these people, is that they just end up hating us and trying to get rid of everything that we have and everything that we stand for. They're never going to be grateful for all the help that we've given them. They just want to wipe us out and take what we have. And essentially, I mean, it's kill or be killed. I mean, it's just the rules of nature. And we've really gone against them and tried to be a little bit higher than the rules of nature and said, well, we'll let these people live, and we'll share our living space with them, and we'll try to educate them, and we'll try to civilize them, and we'll try to bring them up to the standards that the white man has. And hopefully they might bring forth their own culture, their own art, their own music. You know, we bend over backwards to try and help these people. And, you know, we've been really noble in victory, rather than saying, right, we're just going to wipe you all out and we couldn't care less about you. We've been really noble in victory. We've done everything we can for them. We've made laws up to say that we can't criticize them. We've made laws up to say that we have to employ them instead of employing white people. We've done everything we can to help minorities. And the way that they have responded to that is that every year they get increasingly more hostile to us. And it just seems so simple to me that what we have to do is just stop all of that. Just make everything equal. As soon as we have real equal rights and you can live with who you want to live, employ who you want to employ, criticize who you want to criticize, then people will just separate naturally and go their own ways. And that's where we need to get to. And it's just about treating people equally and not making special cases for them. Because if we weren't making special cases for them, then, you know, we wouldn't have them. We would say, well, they're not up to the standard. They're not up to our standard, so we don't want them. They're not our people. They can look after themselves. They can go back to South America and look after themselves there. That started off white, and now it's turned brown, and the whole area is falling apart. I mean, you can see what happens by the intermingling of the races just by looking at South America and comparing it to North America. Both were settled by white people at the same time. North America retained its racial integrity, and South America interbred. And what you've got there now is some of the most violent cities and places in the world, especially in these favelas in Brazil, and all these drug gangs, and they've reverted to this cannibalistic type. And the white people that are living there are now wanting to separate. And you've just got incredible amounts of violence. You know, we need to separate from these people, and we need to, and on our way to doing that, we need to get rid of all this special treatment for them. We just want equal rights, equal laws, not special laws that make the minorities out to be these privileged people. And then we can celebrate our holidays, and we can celebrate our heroes, and we won't have to put up with them mocking them and rubbishing them like they are today about Christopher Columbus.
Well, and you know, Sven, it hits an interesting point, actually. You know, how the Jews are really behind all this, because it always goes back to that one subject. Yeah, yeah. You know, the Washington Redskins, of course, whose symbol is like a Native American brave, is the football team that I grew up around, you know, the National Football League. That was the team. And there's this huge controversy going on since I was a kid about them. And actually, when I was growing up in small Poolsville, Maryland, our high school, you know, teams, you know, for the high school was the Poolsville Indians. And, you know, it was, you know, people would wear headdresses, and it was a celebration of, as you brought up earlier, you know, the honorable Indian. I mean, it really was. They were incredibly brave, and they fought, you know, very, very hard. You know, when I look to, you know, examples of people that were fighting for their folk, Indians like Tecumseh, that fought a, you know, he lost his conflict, but he fought so hard to fight for the sake of his people. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Indians. Like, I genuinely do. But what's interesting is they made us change our name from the Poolsville Indians. They're trying to change the name of the Washington Redskins. And they've done poll after poll of actual Indians. Most of them aren't offended by it at all. Like, I really wouldn't be offended, you know, if there was a team like the Fighting Whiteys or something like that, you know, like that'd be pretty cool. You know, oh, that's a tribute to my heritage and my identity. That's awesome. And most Indians are not, you know, social justice cases. You know, I've never actually had a bad interaction with a Native American. I've had really positive interactions. You know, when it comes to talking about our demographic displacement that whites are facing and stuff like that, they understand because that happened to them. And, you know, they're fighting to retain their culture. They're fighting to retain their blood. You know, the low amount of actual natives that still exist, they're facing total extinction if they don't up their birth rates. And, you know, the problems they're facing with alcoholism and drugs is stuff that our communities are facing. You know, there's a lot of overlap where I want them to be sovereign. I want them to have their own land. I want them to govern their own affairs, where the tribe is in charge of their own people. I don't want white people getting involved in their stuff. I don't want them involved in our affairs either. We just should be able to go our own path. But it's these white liberals and these Jews that rile up these fake controversies. I mean, again, in places like Seattle, one of the whitest cities in America. They're fighting for the Indians, that they've got to, fight for indigenous persons and death to white supremacy, death to colonialism, all this sorts of stuff. When, like, your average Indian doesn't really seem to care based on the polls that I've read. And, you go back to, really just seeing this issue. There's all these false controversies, back, maybe a decade ago. The state of Mississippi voted on whether to retain their state flag, which has the Confederate battle flag on it. And a large percentage of blacks even voted to keep it, because that was part of the heritage of the state and of the region. But it's what happens when you get these Jews coming in. They rile all the situation up. They use the media to turn, if there's one person who's offended, it seems like a million people, 10 million, 100 million people are offended, to amplify this sort of conflict, because they're the ones that are really pushing this anti-white narrative, this anti-Christian narrative. And, this is what we're facing across the entire Western world. And, as you're mentioning, about how multiculturalism doesn't work, Brazil is a great example. The south of Brazil is talking about independence now, about how, that's a majority white area, about how they would like to be able to be free and sovereign, and they don't want to be part of the multicultural experiment. Well, if there's indigenous peoples movements in Latin America that they want to be, secede, and they want to be sovereign, they don't want to live in a multicultural, land, that's great, in Hawaii, and Puerto Rico. I know Hawaiian and Puerto Rican nationalists. They want to govern their own affairs. They want all their people, in Puerto Rico, I've talked to Puerto Rican nationalists. They want the Puerto Ricans here in the United States to come home, to make Puerto Rico great again, to really build their own independent nation, to not have white people in the American Empire governing them, but to be in charge of their own affairs. And this is where nationalism comes in. We want nationalism for our people, but for all peoples. And we don't have to be in a conflict. But the one group that causes there to be conflict constantly and riles up all the tensions, whether it's racial tensions, religious tensions, it's always the Jews. They're the ones, the Pied Piper. Conflict. When we can actually sit down like adults and figure out problems, but it's always the Jews pushing this. And you see this in these white liberal cities. They're the first ones to jump on a social justice bandwagon. They're the first ones to denounce all whiteness, their own people. These white liberals are doing, and it's always the Jews leading it, and that never changes. It's always them that are pushing this.
Well, the way that they do it, they try to get us to feel guilt for our ancestors and for things that our ancestors did. I mean, when I was a child, we used to play cowboys and Indians, and one group would play the Indians, the other group would play the cowboys. And we are really proud of, our ancestral white people that went over to America and colonized the country. And people didn't mind if they were playing the Indians and they would put feathers in their hair and build the wigwams. And it was a way of honoring the people that we had vanquished, these people that we had fought against. And the thought never really sort of entered our heads. Oh, well, that must have been wrong. It was their land. It was, well, we had a right to take it because we'd been given the strength to take it. We'd been given that ability by God, by nature, whatever, and the one that is the best at doing things, the most versatile, should be running things. And when we took the country over and we civilized it and we built a wonderful civilization there, and America was first world country leading the world, and it all came about because of these people colonizing it. But the thought that, oh, these poor indigenous peoples that were there before us, I mean that never entered my head when I was a child. But children today will be taught, and I know that they'll be taught in the schools there today with Christopher Columbus Day, they'll be taught about how wrong it was to be taking that land from the indigenous people. But the fact of the matter is, we are always going to be expanding. We're not now because of all the attacks we've been under, feminism, contraception, abortion. But back then, 500 years ago, we needed more space because we knew our race was going to expand. The whole point of life is to get married and have children and to reproduce yourself. And the nation is constantly going to expand. The nation is constantly going to require new land. And our thoughtful, graceful, kind, brave forefathers went and colonized America so that they could provide a new land for their descendants. And the way of nature is that, first of all, you have to clear that land and you have to prepare it. There were other people there, yes, but if it was either them or it was us, if we hadn't gone to America to colonize that land, then we would have ended up with more people starving from famines in Europe where there just wasn't space for us. It's nature. It had to be done. We had to go out and colonize there. And we are the colonizing race. We have this this deep yearning to go out and conquer and go out and colonize places and explore and have adventure. And these other races don't have that. They just sit wherever they are. And if they're in inhospitable climates where it's too hot, then we're really not that interested. And they're really not that interested in developing the land that that they've got there. I mean, when we went to Africa, they had no idea about the what was under the soil. When we went to Arabia, they had no idea about the oil. And when we go to the Americas, they've got no real idea about the resources that were lying under their feet, the gas and the oil. And it requires our technology and our innovation to get all of this and convert it into civilization. And then these other peoples have benefited from it. But it really is a question of them or us when it comes down to it, because we've got to have territory for our people to live on. And if that territory has already got people on it, then either we have to come to some agreement with them, or we have to take it over. And our ancestors took it over, and they did that out of the kindness of their hearts for us. So for us to turn our backs on them now and say, oh no, that was terrible of them to do that, I feel so guilty for taking the indigenous people's land. If we hadn't done that, we wouldn't be able to live today. You wouldn't be there today, Matt. You'd be people starving in Europe from not having enough land. You know, it had to be done. So we shouldn't feel guilty about it, I don't think.
Well, and as we mentioned earlier, you know, an important thing to remember, the Aztecs as a great example, they used, lesser advanced tribes around them, literally, for breeding for their sacrifices, where, you know, to reconsecrate one of their temples, they sacrificed like 75,000 men, women, and children. And, you know, that's definitely not acceptable in my Christian values or my European values. But that's how they were doing things. But let's not pretend that there wasn't conflict amongst other peoples. You know, when the Spaniards show up, there's a reason why a lot of those tribes actually banded together with the Spaniards against the Aztecs, because the Aztecs for generations had been stealing their people to cut their hearts open and, kick their bodies down the stairs of their big temples and stuff like that. You know, the idea that white people are uniformly guilty is nonsense. I mean, the chattel slave trade, while I don't agree with slavery, I wish we'd never participated in the slave trade. And, I think it was wrong insofar of cutting people off from their heritage and culture and causing all the racial problems we have in the West. Where did the slaves come from? The slaves came from blacks. You know, we weren't going into Africa to get people. They were warring with one another, and they were turning their prisoners of war in many cases over to the slavers. And if they weren't going to sell them to Europeans, they were going to sell them to Arabs, or they were going to sell them to one another. I mean, this is the sort of thing. White people have been given this attack that we were supposedly uniformly guilty for, you know, engaging in warfare and conquest, when every single group of people has done so. This is not a new thing at all.
Well, what we've done is help these people out. We haven't acted in the same way that they did. We put an end to slavery. We didn't wipe out the Indians. We gave them reservations and we taught them and we gave them medicine. You know, we acted in ways that were far superior to the way that the Indians were behaving to one another. I mean, as you say, they were making slaves of one another. And if it had been a question of the Indians winning, do you think they would have given us reservations? They would have wiped us all out. They'd have taken all our women and killed all the men.
Well, that's what happened in Roanoke, for instance. Not to cut you off, but because we're coming to the end of our show, but the Roanoke colony totally disappeared, and they didn't find bodies dead from disease and stuff like that. It's believed that Indians came and they killed or took everyone who was there. I mean, this is human nature. Human nature is conflict. Now, we need to build a world of free peoples where we can lessen the amount of conflict, where peoples can live in their own lands. But especially when it comes to history, stop the white guilt. Officially, Christopher Columbus and Leif Erikson Day today, I'm going to declare, is Stop White Guilt Day, or I Have No White Guilt Day, because I don't. I don't apologize for what my ancestors did. I don't agree with everything that they did. But at the same time, those are my family, and we are just like every other group of people in terms of what has happened in human history. And that is conflict. That is conquest. Blacks have done it. Arabs have done it. Indigenous peoples have done it. Europeans have done it. Everyone does it. So let's focus on our forward problems. Stop trying to refight the battles of the past and actually try and, I don't know, like build a better world. That sounds good to me. But, you know, this is what happens with this attachment of white guilt that is constantly put on us by the Jews and by self-hating whites. And we need to kick that. There's nothing to apologize for. Nothing to apologize for. We can work towards making sure we have a good, fair future for everyone, and you know, as we go forward. But I have nothing to apologize for, and you, dear listeners, also have nothing to apologize for. So, Sven, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate everyone being here. This is a good topic, moving quick. But I'm excited to be back tomorrow with another edition of The Daily Traditionalist. So everyone, go out, celebrate, you know, No White Guilt Day. Happy Columbus Day. Happy Leif Erikson Day. And I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Hail victory.
You've been listening to The Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.